Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll look at the last half of the chapter this morning, John 15 verses 18 to 27. In our message last week, we spoke about love, how wonderful it is to be loved, especially unconditional love. To be loved unconditionally, to know that you're in the presence of those who love you is it's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing to know that the people who are around you and people who are with you care about you and love you unconditionally. We spoke about God's great love, and there's no greater love than that. It demonstrated for us as Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. It's the greatest love that we could ever imagine to be, because Jesus said the greatest love that man knows is that he would lay down his life for his friends, but Jesus, God in the flesh, went a step further than that, and he laid down his life for his enemies. And so it was certainly a great love. And we talked about how we are to continue in that love, to dwell upon that love, to think about God's love to us and reciprocate that love to him, of course, and to tell other people about his love for them. And then we concluded by talking about the way we are to love other people. As Jesus says in verse 17, he commands us to love one another. And so as God's children especially, we ought to express and demonstrate that love one towards another. But in stark contrast to the love of Christ, this morning we come to verse 18, which deals with not love but hate. The hatred of the world. The world, though often talking about love, can be a very hateful place. The word hate here in our text here would have the thought, of course, of detesting, something that's detested to you or to somebody. It speaks of persecution, particularly a persecution, and also to love less. And so it's a kind of a broad range of what's being addressed here. But think about that persecution, I believe, is what Jesus is speaking about here largely as he talks about being hated by the world. You know, hatred can be directed at anybody. People can hate another person, and there doesn't have to be very good reason for that. Sometimes it's just a prejudice and so on. But often, hatred is directed towards God. And that's the case that many times in our world today. We would wonder how it could be that God, who loved so much, could be hated so much. How could God, who has expressed and demonstrated his love in giving us life and giving us all the blessings that we have in this life of sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, how could it be that people would hate God? But people do hate God. His commandments they consider to be grievous and unreasonable, and so they hate him for saying what's right and what's wrong. They hate him for giving commandments to a way to live our life. And rather than believe in God, to turn to him and enjoy his love, man rather instead pushes God away and says, no, God, we don't want you. We don't want you in our life. We don't want you in our society. We don't want you in our world. That hatred that's directed towards God of almost necessity can sometimes be directed towards God's people. That was no surprise to Jesus. Of course, he had experienced it and would be experiencing it greatly over this next little bit as we look at in the Gospel of John here into chapter 18 particularly and 19. But we think about that, and Jesus knew that people would hate not just him. They had hated him and they would hate him more, but that also that hatred would be directed towards his disciples and to Christians in future days. And so he gives them some words that we'll be preaching from this morning that I've entitled Comfort in Uncomfortable Times. Comfort in Uncomfortable Times. Verse 18, John chapter 15. The Bible says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not known sin, or they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both have seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And he shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for this portion of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that we would take it to heart today. I pray that we would learn from it that which you would have us to learn from it. May we be reminded again of the love of God, but may we be reminded again of the comfort that is available to those who feel a hatred, perhaps, from others. Lord, especially as believers today, that we would be drawn closer to you in this message, and that you touch our hearts, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, hatred from without. Hatred from without, verses 18 to 21. Jesus said, "Marvel not if the world hate you." When he speaks of the world here, he's not speaking of the globe. He's not speaking of the ground. The ground is not, you know, sometimes that, you know, people trip up or whatever. I used to be bad for tripping up when I was a child, and I blame on whoever was with me, even though it was my own clumsy feet's fault. But it's not talking about the ground that hates you or the water that hates you. It's not talking about that globe, but he's speaking about the world system, the world's philosophy. Not necessarily everybody on the planet, but the philosophies of the world are often against the things of God. And so there is a hatred for God and for God's word and for God's people of that philosophy and of that system many times. Sometimes without much reason, the world dislikes the Christian. But Jesus said, "Marvel not if the world hate you." It's not a guarantee that you're going to be hated. It's not something that every single person is going to be hated by everybody. Not everybody hates Christians. But it's not surprising that some do. As we'll see, the world hated Christ, and if they hated Christ, then it's going to overflow onto the believer. We've been very blessed to live as long as we have in the country that we live in, and in the part of the world that we live in. Not just our own country, but what often is referred to as the West or the Western world is a part of the world and a part of time of this last few hundred years where God's word has been often the foundation for society. And so Christians really haven't had necessarily to be hated so much because everyone really followed along with the general, not all the teachings of Scripture, but the general major teachings of Scripture as far as rights and wrongs and that kind of thing. It doesn't mean that Christians weren't disliked, and there's been persecution even in the West in individual situations, of course. But because the Bible's been that foundation, there's been no significant level of hatred, we would say, in our part of the world for a long time. Sadly, our world is turning, and the freedoms that we have enjoyed may or may not be here as long. We are starting to see the world turn against God's ways and against God's word. And our society that's been built upon that, as we've been looking at on Wednesday evenings, is turning against those things. And so, therefore, if you stand on those things, then all of a sudden you're going to stand out a lot more than you used to stand out. And so, the tide is changing. And as the verse is referenced in our bulletin, we need to pray that God would cause the leaders to make right decisions that we would be able to continue to live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But as we think of being hated, and Jesus says, "Marvel not if the world hate you," I'd like us to think about it from another aspect this morning. I'd like us to realize that we need to be careful that we are not hated for the wrong reason. If you're hated or disliked, or people speak against you because you stand up for truth and righteousness, that's one thing. But if it's because of your attitude and because of your manner towards people and your perhaps unpleasantness in telling people even the truth sometimes, but the manner of which you live, or maybe a hypocritical life particularly, a sinful life, if people laugh at you because you talk one thing and live another way, that's not persecution that Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about people who really are justly spoken against because they don't live like they talk. People that live one way hypocritically, they really get what they deserve when people say, look at that. And so we need to realize that Jesus is not speaking. And sometimes we'll hear, well, I'm just suffering for the Lord. And then we look at the person's life, or we've heard the way they've spoken and say, well, let's make sure of whether you're really suffering for the Lord or you're suffering because of the way you're conducting your life under the name of being a Christian. Micah 6:8 tells us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. You know, if we are doing that and we've experienced persecution, then that's the persecution that Jesus is speaking about. Jesus said, remember in Matthew chapter 5, for those who are persecuted, he said, blessed are you when men shall speak evil against you as evildoers. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Well, it doesn't feel that way, does it? But Jesus said, because they've always done that to God's people down through history, so persecuted they the prophets. And so it may be that you may face some persecution. You may be laughed at. You may be disliked. You may be left out of a group, a peer group, because you call yourself a Christian. You may not, but you may be. Jesus says, don't be surprised if you are. Marvel not if the world hate you. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So we ought not be surprised. He says, if the world hate you. Why would the world hate the Christian? Well, sometimes they hate because we are not of the world. Jesus says, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Why does the world hate Christians sometimes? Because they don't blend in the same way. They don't blend into the mold and the pattern of the philosophies of the world sometimes, when those philosophies go against God's word. By nature, people often dislike what is different. That's just a general statement. At least at first, that's sometimes the case. The world sometimes dislikes Christians because we are different. We are not of the world. We live in a quote-unquote all-inclusive society, but sometimes people who stand for truth and stand for what's right are not included in the all-inclusiveness. Because you're just not supposed to have an opinion if you want to be accepted by everybody. Christians are different, Jesus says, because he has chosen us out of the world. What does it say in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be shaped after the world. Jesus said, I've chosen you out of the world. I've got a different mold for you to be molded after. The mold that you're to be molded after is the pattern of my Son. Not the same one as the world is molded after. And so we're going to stand out. We're going to be different. Because we're patterned after the Savior and not after the philosophies of the world. We live by a different standard of what is right and what is wrong. It's God's standard, not the philosophies of man that say, well, if it feels good, it's okay. If you don't think it's bad, it's not bad. If you do it, then it is. No, we have an absolute standard. We have the Bible that tells us, thou shalt not. There's absolutes, rights, and absolute wrongs. The world doesn't like those absolutes many times. We have different ideals of life and behavior. They're God's ideals in life. And Jesus said, because you're not of the world, you don't live like them, you don't think like them, therefore, there may be some that will hate you for that. Don't be surprised if that is the case. If you were of the world would love his own. but I've chosen you out of the world. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's that difference, that godliness that the world does not like. Why else would the world not like Christians according to what Jesus tells us here in verses 20 and 21? It's because we are His servants. Remember that word that I said unto you, Jesus said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Because we're Christians, because we are Christians, Christ, we belong to Christ. That's what a Christian means, Christ-like. Jesus said, you are my servants. Jesus had experienced that hatred already. That's what he said in verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So he said, I've already been there. They hated me. And so he said, they will hate you because you're my servants. They connect you and me together, Jesus said. He's the master, we are the servants. There was a difference of position. We can't expect better treatment than our master. We are his ambassadors. We represent him to the world. And if the world didn't like Jesus, and Jesus is a very polarizing person still to this day, if the world does not like Jesus, then they're not going to like people who like Jesus or who follow Jesus. That's simply what Jesus says here. Isn't it a profound statement that Jesus said, if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours, and if they haven't kept mine, they won't keep yours. An amazing statement. A great responsibility that's attached to that. People often are often known and accepted or rejected due to who they know. Not true. People are, oh, this is my friend. Oh, okay. So if you are a friend and you introduce a person to that, this is my friend, and they can become accepted sometimes because they know you. On the other hand, somebody may say, oh, they're so and so's friend. I don't want to be their friend. Jesus says, I am your friend. He said that in our message earlier. And last week or the week before, he said he was our friend. We are his servants. He is our master. And people associate him and us. And so he says, they're going to not like you because you are one of mine. You are one of my followers. Sometimes people can know you and like you, but then they find out you're a Christian and it changes. That doesn't happen often in our society. It doesn't happen often in our world, but sometimes there's a change in people's life, a change in people's mind towards you when they find, oh, you're a Christian. They may have appreciated you before or known you before, and they know all the things about you that they liked before, but then there's a change because they find out you're a Christian. The connection to Christ is a changing thing. There's going to be times when your association to Christ will cause people to say, oh no, they're one of those. They're a Christian. That's what Jesus says here. He says, you're not greater than your Lord. If they've treated me this way, they're going to treat you this way as well. And why? Verse 21, because they don't know him that sent me. Why do they hate Jesus? Why do they hate Christians sometimes? Because they don't know the Father. Remember what we said last week. We said that the Father is the commencement of love. He is the beginning of love. Jesus says, the Father's loved me, I have loved you, continue ye in my love. If they knew the Father, truly, then they would love the Son. But because they don't know the Father, they don't know that love. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. If the world is acting in a hateful way, don't be surprised. They don't have the love of the Father within them. If they knew God, or when they know God, things will change. See, how do you know that? You remember that guy named Saul in the Bible, in the book of Acts? He hated Christians. He hated those who named the name of Christ. He went out of his way to persecute them, to catch them, to put them in prison, to have them killed, all kinds of mean, terrible things. To close down churches, that was his goal, to stop Christianity. But one day he was stopped on his way to Damascus. And he met the Savior and he believed in the Savior and his life was changed. And instead of hating Christians, he became a Christian himself and he became one who was persecuted for being a Christian, just like he had persecuted people before. See, at that moment, he received the love of the Father and it changed him. The pricks of conviction finally broke through his hard heart. If people hate you for your faith, don't strike back. Jesus gave us a solution in Matthew 5:44. He says, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Love them, do good to them, pray for them. Wait a minute, why would I do that? Because, Christian, you do have the love of God in your heart. Because God has given you that love that he has that passes understanding and enables you to pray for them. Oh, and Jesus says, don't take it personally because remember, they're doing it because it's for my name's sake in verse 21. And so it may be that there will be hatred from without in your life. But this morning, realize that there's understanding from above. In verses 22 to 24, Jesus speaks about the understanding that he has of what it means to be persecuted, what it means to be disliked, what it means to be rejected by society. Jesus knew firsthand what it was about. You know, one of the greatest comforts for those facing difficult times is the comfort who's one who's been there. Somebody who's been through it can help you through things better than a lot of other people. Sometimes people or groups are looking, you know, grief counselors and so on. They're looking for people to help be grief counselors. Often those who are grief counselors are people who've been through grief and work through their grief. And then they become grief counselors. Why? Because they've been there. They understand it. Jesus says, listen, I was there first. I understand what you're facing. I know what you're facing and what you're dealing with because they hated me before they hated you. Why did they hate Jesus? Verse 22, Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not known sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Here gets to the crux of the matter as to why people hate Jesus Christ, why people hate the Bible sometimes, why people hate God sometimes, is because of this revelation of sin. The Lord was hated in his day because he spoke the truth about their sin. It was the self-righteous crowd that hated Jesus so much. Remember, as you study Jesus' ministry, and as we've looked at it, we studied Matthew a couple of years ago, and we studied John this past year or so, what do we find? The publicans and the sinners, they received him gladly because they knew they were sinners. They knew they had a need in their life. And they welcomed one who cared for them and showed love towards them. And told the truth. They welcomed that. But the self-righteous crowd, the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, they didn't like Jesus. Why? Because he spoke about their hidden sin. Jesus said, if I hadn't come, they wouldn't have had sin. Well, they did, but it wouldn't have been revealed, is what Jesus is saying. But now I've come, the coat's off. Everyone can see. Remember what he said to them? He said there's times of when the outside of them was clean, but the inside was dirty. He said they were like whited sepulchres. They all look nice on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. He said you can do what they tell you to do, but don't do as they do, because they say and they do not. Jesus revealed their sin. And he said because he revealed their sin, they hated him for that. Through his teaching and preaching, Jesus had revealed all people as sinners, not just the publicans and sinners, but the Pharisees, scribes, and religious leaders. Nobody likes being told that they are wrong or that they are sinners. And that goes for us today too, doesn't it? We don't like it. Who likes to be told, no, you are wrong, that is wrong, that's the wrong thing to do? We don't like being told that. But Jesus said it's necessary. It's a necessary part of the cure. Because if you don't admit the wrong, you can't be saved. In Mark 2:17, it says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You don't need the doctor when you're not sick, nor forgiveness if you haven't sinned. But denying the problem doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix it. It's there, and if you don't address it, then it's not going to be fixed. We're living in a day where to stand for something as being wrong is called hatred. But if sin is not sin, how will we ever be forgiven of sin? If everything is rationalized and justified and made to be okay, then how will we ever know we need to be forgiven? Galatians 3:22 is a very powerful verse. Let's turn there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians, we go over John and then Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 is a very powerful verse, a very important verse, a very significant thing about dealing with this. Jesus said, I came and I spoke and I uncovered their sin and now they hate me. But he came to uncover their sin so that they could be saved. Galatians 3:22 says, the Scripture, the Bible, the Scriptures have concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. If you're not concluded under sin, how can you know the forgiveness of it? Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall find mercy. You can't be forgiven if you won't admit the sin. Jesus said, I came and I revealed their sin and now they hate me. You know, if you go to the doctor and the doctor sees a problem and he says, boy, if I tell them about that, that's really going to upset them, so I won't tell them. But it's something that's terminal if it's not dealt with. Is the doctor your friend? No. The doctor is discovering something that could save your life. And if he doesn't tell you, what kind of a doctor is he? What kind of a friend is he? Would a good mechanic, an honest mechanic, let you leave with your brakes about to fail because he didn't want to upset you by saying you're going to have to spend some money to fix your car? That wouldn't be a friend. That wouldn't help the situation. That would just cause an accident where you could get hurt or hurt somebody else. Don't be upset by the words of Jesus Christ. Respond to them, realizing the love with which they are shared. He said, I came, and the words that I spoke, they removed the cloak of the sin, and now they're angry with me, but really, they should be glad, because I came to save them. Christian, it's important that when we stand for truth and speak it, we do so in a loving manner, because we're told to speak the truth in love. Some will still hate us for that, but we'll have much more effect if we speak it in love. Jesus was hated for speaking the truth, and we may be as well. There's hatred towards Christ because he spoke the truth about their sin, and also because there was hatred towards Christ, there's hatred towards the Father. The religious crowd of Jesus' day claimed to love God, but not Jesus. Jesus said, you can't have it both ways. I come from the Father. I do the will of my Father. I am the way to the Father. I and my Father are one. And so there are people today who claim to believe in God. And we say, well, you believe in God? Great. Well, Jesus is his Son. And he came to die for us. And he came to pay for our sins. Well, I don't know. Don't get Jesus involved in this. And Jesus is a dividing. As we said before, he is a polarizing person for good reason. Because all who believe in him can receive salvation, and those who reject him miss out on that salvation. They hated Christ because Christ's work showed who he was. In verse 24, not only did Jesus' words speak to who he was, but also his works spoke to who he was. He says again in verse 24, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they both have seen and hated both me and my Father." The works that he did convicted them. Wherever he went, Jesus did well, good. Whatever he did well. It was testified as such after he had healed one who was deaf. They said, "He has done all things well." And his works convicted them of their way. They were convicted by their conscience when they tried to accuse him, because he always had an answer, and they knew his answer was always right. He was what they claimed to be, perfect. But he was perfect. They weren't. And his works and his words testified to his perfection and their sin. And as a result, they hated him. Can you imagine how crazy it is to hate somebody for their good works? Remember what Jesus said? "I've done many good works. For which of them do you stone me?" He said, "For a good work stone we thee not, but because thou makest thyself equal with God." But his works revealed who he was, and they hated that. And so it was fulfillment of prophecy. "They hated me without a cause," which is found in Psalm 35, 19, 69, 4, and Psalm 109, verse 3. "They hated me without a cause." It doesn't make sense to hate somebody for no reason, does it? It goes on in our world all the time today that people are hated without a cause. Sometimes as believers, our lives may in fact convict other people. Not because we are perfect like Christ was perfect, but because we strive to live according to his word and we want to do right. And people will say, "Oh yeah, here you go, Mr. Goody Two Shoes again. Okay, yep, yep, I know, you think you're better than us, don't you?" That's not the point, is it? That's not why we do it. We're just trying to please our Lord and our Savior. And we're trying to do what's right. But people look at that and it convicts their own hearts and their own lives. And they say, "Oh, look at you. Look at you." And there's a dislike, there's a hatred, there's a shunning that takes place sometimes then. Listen, don't be offended when somebody is angry at you for doing what's right. Do right anyway, because that's what we are to do before God. Walk humbly with our God. So there was hatred from without, there was understanding from above, and there was comfort from within. Verse 25 and 26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." The Comforter. Oh, it's not nice to be shunned. It's not nice to be hated. Jesus said, "You might be hated." Listen, if the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. I understand what you're going through. And I know it's not pleasant. I know it's not right. But Christian, I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you comfortless. I've sent the Holy Spirit. And at this time, he hadn't sent him yet. But he said, "I will send the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit will come and he will live within you and he will be a comforter." A comforter in what? Comforter in the hatred that faced from the world. A comforter in the sorrows of life. A comforter for every day of our life. It's not easy being persecuted for righteousness' sake, but God doesn't leave us to handle it alone. He's promised his abiding presence by way of the Holy Spirit. His name is Comforter, the one who comes alongside. Jesus said, "He will testify of me. He will remind you of the things that I said and the things that I did and how I also faced persecution," Jesus said. He will testify in truth, not just empty words, but truthful words to be a comfort and a help to you in your time of need. And he will empower you to continue to live and tell of Christ despite that persecution. Notice what he says in verse 27, ye shall also bear witness. Lord, how can we bear witness if people are going to hate us for standing for truth? How can we bear witness of that? Because the Holy Spirit's with you and He will give you power to stand and do what's right even though people won't appreciate it and people won't like it. And that's exactly what happens as we see it unfolding in the book of Acts, as they were threatened and persecuted and they prayed and the Holy Spirit filled them and they went out boldly and they preached and the people were saved and lives were changed. Why? Because even despite the persecution, they had the Comforter living within them to comfort them and to empower them to continue to stand for what was right. Hatred is an awful thing. It's sad that the world has turned on and hates God despite His great love for them. That hatred towards God then may be directed towards those who stand for God. Again, we've been very fortunate that our persecution, the hatred towards Christianity has been very small, but I'm sure all of us have faced it to some degree. Maybe a snicker, a snide remark. Maybe more. But that hatred is towards God, and we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and people therefore display that towards us. Just make sure, Christian, that you're not being persecuted, as you may see it, for being a poor testimony. But rather, you're being persecuted for doing what is right. We're not of this world. We're called to live by a different standard, God's standard. What people need is God and His love, love for them, people to love them and pray for them. Be willing and ready to stand for truth, but do it in a loving manner. Continue to do right and testify of His salvation, realizing you're not alone. The Savior understands and the Comforter lives within. You can have comfort in uncomfortable times. Let's pray together.